you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We praise you for his love and mercy and grace showered upon us beyond our comprehension, that you would take a people lost in sin, in rebellion and rejection of you, and reach out to us like a lost sheep coming, the good shepherd coming for his sheep. And Father, we praise you that for all of us here today who have put our trust in Christ, he found us, he brought us back to the fold. You gave us new life through the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you for his death at Calvary, for his burial, for his resurrection, the heart of the gospel that we proclaim here each Sunday. We thank you that as brothers and sisters we can gather together each week, encourage each other in the faith, worship you together, hear your word proclaimed, to encourage us to go out into another week of service for as long as the Lord tarries. The day will come when he'll come to take us home, but right now we still have work to do. And we pray that we would be faithful this week, and that this time together this morning and the other services this week will be a source of great encouragement and challenge as we continue on our journey. We commit this hour to you. Pray for Pastor as he brings the message, that you would fill him with your Spirit, speak through him. May our hearts be open. May we have rich, fertile soil to receive the word implanted and to see it grow and bear fruit in us as we walk by faith in response to what you tell us today. And Father, may our worship be sweet to you, a joy to your heart. We praise you for your love for us. We love you, God, and we pray that this hour will just be a glorious time together. And we commit it all to you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may
mention a couple of things before we read. I'll look into Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Lord, bless his word to our hearts. Turn once again to Philippians chapter 4. Hold our place there. And let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, how we thank you and praise you that we can come together as your people this morning to worship you. We thank you, Father, for all of your grace and love to us and every blessing that we enjoy. Lord, you're so good to us, and we just thank you and praise you for that in every way. And pray this morning that you would bless your word to our hearts as we look into it, that we might be encouraged, that we might be strengthened. We pray for anyone who has spiritual needs today, dear Heavenly Father, that you might work in their lives. If there's anyone who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, that this would be the day of salvation for that person. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see the truth and to walk in righteousness and truth before you. Father, we do want to pray for those who are laid aside at the moment. We pray for Kathy Nichols. We ask you to be with her in a special way and heal her completely. We pray too for Ken Weber, as he's having this cataract surgery soon. We pray that that will go well and that he will be able to see clearly once again. We pray for Tom Adams as he's going through some difficult times. I pray that you'll undertake for him and give him wisdom in making the right decisions in his life. And we thank you for our church. We thank you for each one who comes here. We just pray that each one of us might be blessed, that we might draw closer to you, that we might walk in righteousness in your sight, and that you would bind our hearts together as one, as the body of Christ in this place, that we might indeed love one another, and that we might reach out to others and give them the gospel message. May your holy will be done, we pray, O Lord, and may Jesus our Savior be glorified. We thank you in his precious name. Amen. We're thinking about finding peace in turbulent times. I think you have to realize that these days in which we live are certainly days filled with all kinds of confusion and many times violence. How do we have peace in the midst of all this, the hectic days of conflict, and in our own lives day by day, the decisions that we need to make and the things that we have to do? I'd like for us to turn for a moment to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So we find here Jesus and his disciples in their busy ministry came to the town of Bethany and were welcomed into the home of Martha and her sister Mary. Of course, the brother Lazarus was there someplace as well. Notice the contrast between these two ladies. Martha is the hostess. She's preoccupied with the work that needs to be done and frustrated that Mary is not helping her. I'm sure we can understand how she feels. Probably especially the ladies would understand this better than the men. But at any rate, Jesus spoke words of comfort to her. Notice, he didn't get angry because she accused him of not caring. Yeah. Do we ever think about the Lord like that? Well, Lord, do you really care what happens to me? We know he does. It says he careth for you, right? But anyway, we find here that he speaks words of comfort to Martha and says, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. There's lots of things that we are preoccupied about, right? We're thinking about all these different things, and there's so much that we have to do. We don't have time for this, that, and the other. And no one is helping. Poor me. Here I am. Right? And Mary is just, what's she doing? Just sitting there doing nothing. Was she sitting there doing nothing? No. It says she was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. See? That's not doing nothing, is it? And here, Jesus said, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Sounds like what the Apostle Paul said, right? This one thing I do, you see, concentrating on that one particular thing, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, you see. It's more important to listen to the words of Jesus, to obey Him, to walk with Him. This is the most important thing. It's not saying that these other things are not important. It has to be done. And under other circumstances, no doubt Mary would have helped. But here, she chose the one thing that was more important. And we, many times, we have to make choices, don't we? That we would choose the right way, not to worry and fret about all of the many things about us, but to concentrate on the one thing that's needful, being in communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus, you see, listening to His voice and obeying Him. Now, in Philippians 4, once again, we find Paul presenting Jesus as the answer to the problems that people face of anxiety and worry and fretfulness that so easily can attack us. We need to concentrate upon Jesus and who He is. Since we are in Christ, we have no need to worry. Why should we worry? We can trust Him to see us through whatever may come. Now, worry is just a waste of time and energy. Vance Havner, the evangelist, said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. You can sit there and rock all day long, right? But you don't get anywhere. So how can we live a peaceful life in the midst of the conflicts? Notice what Paul says here. He's writing. He tells us that it all is centered in the Lord. In the Lord. And he mentions that several times. If you'll notice these verses as we read them here. Verse 1 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. Paul's writing here to a local church. He's expressing his great love and appreciation for them. This was a church that he founded, that he was especially fond of. He calls them his joy and crown. He's thinking about the various ones in the church, no doubt, that he had led to Christ. He had taught them the word. His heart was filled with joy at the progress that they had made in their Christian lives. And he's writing to them that they might have harmony. Because we find here that there was some dissension in the church, just like between Martha and Mary. We find here two ladies that were having some problems with each other. So Paul here is saying in verse 2, I beseech Euodia and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You see? Here we have Paul is saying, this is what we need to do, is to realize the importance of serving the Lord rather than in having our own way. He's talking here about the need to yield to the Lord and to be reconciled with one another. Stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. He's urging them here to do this, agree. These two ladies, it says in verse 3, had once served in the gospel, spreading the good news of salvation. They had worked with Paul. They had worked with other men. Clement mentions some other fellow laborers that had come and were spreading the gospel. These two ladies were right there, busy, serving the Lord, doing this. And now, what? One, well, I'm just imagining this, but anyway. One sitting over here and the other one sitting over here, and they're scowling at each other, right? You ever see that? He says, agree in the Lord. Let's don't allow some little conflict keep us from serving the Lord. You know, resolve it. Don't continue to have something against each other. Now here it's two ladies. Well, we always pick on the ladies, you know. But it could just as easily be two men, couldn't it? You know, two men that just, something just not quite right between them, and they stop whatever they're doing and pout. You know, this is one of the things that I think men have a tendency to do. They just clam up somewhere and go sit in a corner and won't talk to anybody. You know, anyhow, that's neither here nor there. But he says, be of the same mind in the Lord. As I said in my prayer, the church is the body of Christ, right? We are to be united together, working together, having the same desires, to reach out, to help other people. But if we can't get along with one another, how are we possibly going to reach anyone else? You know? If a brother and sister can't agree, then that's what happened here at this church in Philippi. It was a progressive church. They were going forward and preaching the gospel and reaching people with the message of salvation. But now these two ladies are not speaking to one another. And Paul says, let's get on the same page. Have the same mind, the same mindset that we talked about in chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, we need to be thinking like that instead of our own, seeking our own way all the time and saying, well, you made me upset, so therefore I can't possibly forgive you. See? No, we have to forgive each other. The Lord says, if you don't forgive each other, then I won't forgive you either. Now, whatever that means, take it any kind of way you want to. But there's something there. We need to be on the same page with one another. So Paul here calls upon their leader. He calls him true yoke fellow. And it's interesting, this word in the Greek was some funny name, Cincius or something like that. And they think, well, maybe it could have been his name, perhaps, or it could be someone else. One of the leaders, at least, in the church there at Philippi, he's urging him to help these women, he says, who labored with me in the gospel, who are now estranged from one another. You help them that they might be able to serve once again, to settle their differences. So there is a place to help others in the right spirit, you know, and be able to get people reconciled with one another. This is something that's important. It's a shame when God's children are fighting with one another, you know. It's bad enough to have our spiritual enemies, Satan and his demons, fighting against us. We don't need to fight each other, you know. We have enough problems already. So Paul says their names are both written in the book of life. We're believers. Let's act like it. And they should be serving the Lord instead of bringing reproach upon him. And then notice verse 4. What does he say? Rejoice in the Lord always. See? Stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Okay? Paul is saying here it's important that we have the right attitude, you know. Rejoice in the Lord. You say, well, I can't rejoice in this situation. It's a bad situation, you know. I just can't, I can't get my head screwed on right. But he says, rejoice what? In the Lord. What's the Lord done for you? What has the Lord done against you? You can still rejoice in him. You see? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always there to help us in our times of need, to give us that word that we need for our lives, always, at all times, no matter what's happening around us. William Barclay says, Christian joy is independent of all things on earth because it has its source in the continual presence of Christ. You see? There's a difference between being happy and being joyful, right? Happiness depends on what's going on around us. You know, we can be happy one moment and sad the next, you know. But joyful is something that comes from heaven. We have joy in our hearts because we are saved by the grace of God. Because we have eternal life. Because we've been forgiven. That ought to make you joyful, shouldn't it? Right? And this is what Paul's talking about. Rejoice in the Lord. He's the one who has redeemed us. And he's the one who gives us eternal life. So he emphasizes this, the importance of having that joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Then verse 5 he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, the politicians always want to be known as what? Moderates. You know, I'm not extreme. I'm not extreme left. I'm not extreme right. I'm a moderate. You know, you can get along with me, right? Well, here Paul says, let your moderation be known to all men. Don't turn people off. Don't be extreme in your viewpoints. Be a moderate in the sense of reasonable, right? The Greek word here means justice and something better than justice. Have that attitude. You know, some of us think, I'm always right and you're always wrong. Right? Is that right? Well, see, we need to stop and think, well, there's a possibility. It's just a slight possibility that I might be wrong. You think of that? And here, he says, let your moderation be known. Because the Lord is at hand. Who's the one who's always right? The Lord, right? And he is nearby. He is present. The Lord is present. We need to look to him for our answers. Someone's called this moderation sweet reasonableness. Be reasonable. Don't be cantankerous. Don't be hard to get along with. Maintain your convictions with a sweet spirit. The Lord is at hand. He's with us. Rejoice in him. That's what he's saying to us here that we need to be thinking about. Then we come down to verse 6. We find that he's going to talk about the difference between worry and prayer. We have, as Christians, we have a wonderful privilege, don't we? He says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. That means be anxious. Don't be filled with all of these anxious thoughts for anything. Lay them aside. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right. It's the Lord who is able to supply our needs, isn't it? Right? He's able. So why should we not ask Him? You know, He says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be opened unto you. I found this. This is from W.A. Criswell's sermon. I'm not sure where he got it. But anyway, talking about worry. He says, worry, why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps trouble from overtaking you. It gives you fearful moments and sleepless hours at night. It fills with gloom the day, however fair and bright. It puts a frown upon the face, sharpness in the tone. We're unfit to live with others, and unfit to live alone. Worry? Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps trouble from overtaking you. Pray? Why pray? What can praying do? Praying really changes things, arranging life anew. It takes away our fears and gives us sleep at night. It fills the grayest, gloomiest day with hours of glowing light. It puts a smile upon your face, a love note in your tone. It makes you fit to live with others and fit to live alone. Pray? Why pray? What can praying do? It brings God down from heaven to live and work with you. Thought that was pretty good. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. This is Paul's answer for a peaceful heart. We want to live in peace and harmony with others. He says, spend time in prayer. Pour out your heart before the Lord. You have a complaint? Take it to the Lord, right? And he's glad to hear from us no matter what it is. He speaks here about speak to the Lord with prayer, supplication, ask for what you need, with thanksgiving. See? Be thankful. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth through all generations. Be thankful. So often, we just pop in and pop out with our prayers, and we don't take time to thank God for what He does. We need to be grateful and appreciate all that the Lord does for us. Our prayer should always include gratitude to God for His blessings, for the grace that He shows to us, and for all that we have in Christ. And He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. You know what we want? People are always looking for peace. Sense of contentment, well-being. It says this is how you receive it. By not depending upon yourself, and worrying and fretting about everything that you're going to do, but rather depending upon God and taking your burdens and your heartaches to Him. And thanking Him for what He does. He says this way we can have peace in our hearts. If we're depending upon Him, you see. We put our burdens upon the Lord. He'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To know all that is well between you and God is better than any medicine or treatment could ever be. Be content. And then he goes down talking about the way we think. Thinking on these things, the last two verses here, I want to look at. Paul gives a long list. Pastor Steve was reading in Sunday school this morning that one sentence there in Ephesians, 14 verses. Well, here he gives us a whole list again of things that we should think upon. What our minds should dwell upon, to have a peaceful mind. It's important to have the right kind of thoughts. So he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, first of all, true things. You know, the world's filled with fantasy and dreams. We need to live in reality and think upon the truth, especially as we find it in God's Word. You know, if you're watching something on television, we watch some of these programs, and you're watching a story, and all of a sudden it just goes completely wild. You know what I mean? Just all kinds of weird things happening. And but we can't live like that. We have to live in the true world, right? Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. And live in reality and allow God to guide you. Then he says honest things. You know, a believer above all else should be honest, shouldn't we? You know, some people sit and wonder, how can I work something out to, you know, see if I can't make a little extra here. You know, something like this. Oh, well, is it honest? Well, I think it might be, you know. But we can rationalize. He says, no, think about honest things. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You see, a Christian shouldn't be shady. Shouldn't be trying to see how much he can get on the side, even though it may not be necessarily honest. He says, no. Be honest in every area of your life. Be just or righteous. Think on these things, righteous things. This speaks about the one who does his duty to God and man, being righteous. And being concerned about pleasing the Lord. Then he says, let your thoughts be pure, morally undefiled. I know one of the, I keep hearing this, one of the greatest problems that people have today is watching pornography. You know, it's so easy, isn't it? On the internet or wherever, and all of this, and it creates all kinds of impure thoughts in a person's mind. He says, no, keep your thoughts pure. Don't allow those things to get into your mind and heart. We shouldn't allow our minds to dwell on these kind of sordid, impure thoughts. Then he says, whatever is lovely, that which is beautiful, right? You know, stop and smell the roses, right, they say, huh? Lovely things. Think about that which is good and kind and gracious. Be instead of all of the terrible things that's going on in the world. You know, there's enough of that. You hear the news in the evening, and someone's got shot down in Philadelphia, or they get stabbed up here in Delaware or whatever, and it's horrible. And we need to stop and think, no, let's think about the lovely things. Beautiful music and art and things, of whatever it is that you appreciate, that shows forth love. And tranquility, kindness, and sympathy. He says things of good report, you know, rather than all the bad. This is what makes news, isn't it? You listen to the newscast, I mean, it's all bad. Once in a while, they'll put a little puppy on or something, you know, or a baby, you know, something like that. But that just to throw that in on the side a little bit. But he says, no, think about those things that have good report, thoughts that encourage and elevate and edify, something that will build you up, you know. We need to think about that. Things that are virtuous, praiseworthy, all these kind of things. As Paul says, let your mind dwell upon that which is good and righteous and holy. And then he says in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Put it into practice. That which you've heard. You know, you read the Bible, you hear someone else preach, you hear good things that you need to do. He says, put it into practice. Do it. You know? And the God of peace shall be with you. We talked about the peace of God before being in our hearts. Now he says, the God of peace will be with you as you meditate upon these things, and you'll have that those thoughts in your mind and heart. Look with me in Hebrews 13 for a moment. Hebrews 13, verse 20, the benediction that Paul gives here. He says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a prayer. The God of peace. May we sense His presence with us always. May we know that He's there, the one who brings peace to our hearts and brings peace to those who will trust in Him. There's no way to have God's peace and joy without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear on that, isn't it? Without Him, we have no hope. But Scripture says that we're lost and bound for eternal destruction without Jesus. But He made all the difference. He took Him upon Himself our sins and died in our place and shed His blood that we might be redeemed. And all we have to do is place our faith and trust in Him. And we have His wonderful salvation. I hope everyone here this morning knows the Lord. I have no way of knowing for sure. But you know, in your heart. Do you have that peace, or is there turmoil? Is God speaking through your heart? You know, it says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So all He asks us to do is to turn to Him and believe. Put your faith and trust in Him. Repent of your sins and turn to Christ. And that's all He asks. And we as Christians, as believers, we need to allow the Lord to fill us with His peace and His joy and serve Him with all of our hearts. Stop worrying. Stop fretting about things that we don't have any control over to begin with. You know? Lord, we thank You for Your word to our hearts today. And we pray that You will enable us to think those thoughts which are good and holy and righteous. Keep us from sin and help us to walk in fellowship with you. And Lord, speak to every heart. If there's anyone who has never trusted Jesus today as their Lord and Savior, that this might be the day of salvation. May Christ be glorified, we pray in his name. Amen.